This is CliffCentral.com.
Part of our lives for the last year and a half, Justice Malala has popped in on CliffCentral.com to give us the latest in the burning platform brought to you by Nando's. And today is no different, so you will continue to have the best of everything with Justice. And today is just one of those days where he gets to explain to us how the hell the world works and why we don't understand anything and why we need to start paying attention. I mean... I'm being more sarcastic than useful in this respect, but he is here this morning. The Burning Platform is our place to talk about the issues of the day. Justice, what's happening? How are you, first of all? I heard you weren't well.
I wish I knew what was happening. What is happening? Someone help us, please.
What's going on with state-owned enterprises? Let's start with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at this past week, can I just say, guys, isn't it great? Look at this. I mean, the branding's changed. It's all Touch Central, Cliff Central. Jeez, man. I feel like you're going to put on some music in a bit.
We are moving forward.
Moving forward.
That's what you're doing.
It's all very exciting.
So going forward, we'll be called Moving Central as we move forward.
Right, exactly. And then they'll think we're a removal company.
Well, look, at least we are moving forward.
Are we moving forward in terms of state-owned enterprises?
State-owned enterprises. You know, we've spoken about this before. We've spoken about Eskom and its deal with the Gupta family, mm-hmm. Tegeta, how there are big questions about the quality of coal that came out of the Gupta-owned mines, how there are big questions about whether it is correct or it was correct for Eskom to say, oh, you guys, we want your coal, but you don't have money to mine it, so we'll give you half a billion rand up front so that you can do that. And of course, the question becomes, well, you know, are they getting it because they are so hot and so good, or are they getting their advance payment because they are friends of the Zuma family, plus their son is a major shareholder in the company.
Now, Lynn Brown, the minister, says, no, the coal was very good quality. There's nothing wrong with the quality of the coal from the Gupta mine. Mm. What do we say?
The problem there is that two experts, one external, one internal, has gone up... right at the beginning said, guys, are we sure about this coal? We need to talk about this coal. And then months and months later, according to Business Day, ran a story 2 days ago saying it's been 365 days since when they pointed out that, guys, we're not sure about the coal, they were suspended. 365 days later, no one has told them anything about what's your disciplinary hearing or anything. It's just, oh, bye. So long as we've put you aside, we've signed the deal, we've given the half a billion, it's all good and happy. Uh-huh. So, you know, step away. But let's talk about these state-owned enterprises. What's going on really there? What's going on is that a new committee has been formed, and we touched on this last week. A new committee has been formed, and President Zuma now has oversight over this committee.
Uh-huh.
Right? This committee will... For example, at SAA, which is my favorite airline, I think I've flown 3 times this week on SAA. So lovely. Sure. The people there are fantastic.
They are, you know.
And I mean, it just works.
It's a great airline. I like flying them too.
Oh.
But does it work in terms of the budget?
Well, you know, they keep on asking for you and me to pop them some cash because they've run out of cash and they're perpetually running out of cash. The problem there is that the chairperson of the SAA board is Dudu Mieni, who is very close friends with President Zuma and happens to be the head of his of the J.G. Zuma Foundation.
Hmm.
So Treasury keeps on saying, we need a new board of directors. We need a new chairman for this company.
How else do you get decisions approved, for example, and budgets taken care of and expenses accounted for?
As we have pointed out before, at SAA, there is no board. Okay, so there's the chair and 2 people left. Generally, you'd have a board of between 8 and 12 people for a company like this.
Mm-hmm.
There is no board. they've all left because they said, no, this thing is, it's not being run like a spaza shop, because a spaza shop is run properly or you're out of business.
Right.
It's run like a, I don't know, the way the Sicilians run their mafia organizations or something like that. It's just crazy. Anyway, so then you say, okay, if there's no board, at least there'll be a CEO, a financial officer, so forth, so forth. Nothing. Nix. There is. So one person, the chair, is doing everything. The chair of SAA is in charge of everything.
Now, where did it all start going wrong? Because there was this contract that was supposed to be signed for the leasing of aircraft with some small company that nobody's heard of. And that was when a lot of the board members resigned. That was when all this furore started and people started questioning whether Dudu Mieni was the right person to run SAA, etc.
It's been patently clear that she's not the right person to run the job. That is why Nhlanhla Nene, when he said, you're not buying those six Airbus jets last year, he was fired because it was, well, you're standing in the way of progress, shall we say. And then Des van Rooyen came in 4 days in the job, and one of the allegations was that, ta-da, he's... the first thing he asked for was, what's happening with the SAA contracts? Can I have a look? Thankfully, that Sunday evening, President J.G. Zuma got rid of him. And so since then, Pravin Gordhan has been trying to fix things up, get a new board going, get rid of Dudu Mieni, and that is why he's under so much trouble now. So the... If you think about, when you ask what's going on with the SOEs are the honeypot of government. This is where government money is used, hopefully, for progress, for electricity, for water, for airlines, all these things. This is where the money is, the big, big money. You can become extremely wealthy by just supplying services. Let's say you supply food on SAA, for example, chicken or beef.
And that could make you a very, very large pot of money.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or you could be in the travel industry and booking flights. There is a whole range of services associated with that. It seems to me increasingly that some people who live in Saxon world have decided there's a chance for us to supply coal. Forget about Eskom. Supply coal to Eskom. So we're going to get ourselves a mine and we're going to make sure that Eskom takes our coal, whether it's substandard or not, whether we have the money or not, mm-hmm. whether other people are waiting in the wings or not, and so forth. So what you're seeing here is that the Jacob Zuma, J.G. Zuma administration has until 2019 to go. And people have to get in there and do whatever they can to get their hands on this honeypot.
Some of the lucre.
And so it's become a big fight over who controls these. So
and this is the real origin of the tension between the Treasury and the administration at the moment, right?
This is exactly it, because Treasury says, No. It's of course everyone can get rich. Everyone must get rich.
No.
Everyone must do their best to, you know, get in there and be a supplier, and that's all okay. But when you cut corners, when you begin to do things for certain people because they are special, then we have a problem here. And so the chief procurement officer, Kenneth Brown, writes to Eskom and says, guys, where are your contracts for this? Why didn't this one go on open tender? How can you give a massive job like this to Ben without even saying, oh, Mabali, you can throw your hat in the ring, or Gareth, you can throw your hat in the ring? How did this happen? Oh, no. We will, we answered your questions. No, we didn't answer your questions. Oh, we answered. Essentially, Treasury now in South Africa, over all these billions we've spoken about, is the last line of defense. They are saying, you do things by the book or you're out.
Hmm.
All these other state-owned enterprises are saying, you think you're better. Who are you to tell us this? And they keep on pointing fingers and so forth and so forth. That is why I'm sure you spoke to Anthea about this, why Future Growth Asset Management yesterday said, you know what?
We're turning off the taps.
We're turning off the taps. We're no longer giving loans to some of these state-owned enterprises because we are worried that they don't want to follow the rules, and that is why they're defying National Treasury.
We're talking to Justice Malala. It's the Burning Platform brought to you by Nando's every Thursday on touchcentral.fm. And this morning I'm talking about state-owned enterprises with Justice, which is obviously an area of concern. It's big in the news right now. Last Friday we spoke to Bongani Ulunga from the President's office, right? Mm-hmm. And he said to me the President has no intention, or certainly he hasn't said anything about a cabinet reshuffle. What do we think of that?
The cabinet is selection and reshuffling of the cabinet is the prerogative of the President of South Africa, as those powers are handed to him by the Constitution. The only cabinet reshuffle that we can be certain about is when a new government is installed every 5 years.
Hmm.
So in 2019, sometime in April, May, we'll have an election, and the new president of South Africa, the new president of South Africa will appoint.
Get out of here, man. Shit, I'm saying. Get out of here for real. I'm saying get out of here for real.
The new president of South Africa will then put together a cabinet and announce it. That's the prerogative. In between those two, during the 5 year term, the president can fire and appoint new ones. We don't know. At the moment, we don't know because it's all in President Zuma's head. Now, if you think about it, on August 3, President Zuma was in Nkandla and he said that he's got a magical vote that will multiply in the voting booth. It didn't turn out that way. Nkandla was lost to the IFP by the ANC. He has not said anything else since. He appeared at the IEC where there was the Kwesi protest by those four young women. And that was it. We have not heard anything from President Zuma. His analysis of the elections or the election result, he has been quiet, quiet, quiet. So from him and his office, quite frankly, we don't know.
Sure.
However, if I was one of President J.G. Zuma's cabinet members, I would be asking myself, why is he so quiet? When the SACP on Sunday comes out of its meeting and says, we are aware that, you know, there's a move to get rid of SACP members in cabinet. When at the same weekend in Inchanga in KwaZulu-Natal, SACP members are being targeted and killed.
Right.
The son of James Numalo, who used to be the mayor, I think, of Etegwini, was nearly shot and killed, and the bullet that was aimed at him shot and killed someone who was standing next to him.
Hmm.
So there is an all-out war between the ANC and the SACP, certainly in KwaZulu-Natal and certainly in cabinet. That might be an opening for about 5-6 positions.
Wow.
To go. The second one is that we keep on hearing that this administration is fully behind everyone. Have you ever met a minister who everyone says is so good? That's Pravin Gordhan. And yet the cops are coming after him, but everyone stands up and says, we have absolute trust in him, but the cops are coming after him. We have trust in him. The cops are coming after him. So I think his job is also on the line. He said at the beginning of the year in February that if he's around in October, that means he has political backing. It's becoming increasingly tough to see an October come around with Pravin Gordhan still in that chair. But we'll see how that goes. The now, consequences are going to be devastating again if Pravin goes.
Now, who would the president put in his place? We've heard intimations that Brian Molefe of Eskom might be the guy. We've heard people saying, no, Des Van Rijn deserves his chance a second time around. There could be others that are in line. Do we have any idea of what might be on the cards?
Those two names have certainly been bandied about. There's a third one. Sifiso Buthelezi. Sifiso Buthelezi is a youngish member of parliament. He mm-hmm. was sworn in a few months ago from out of nowhere. We know that he has a relationship with President Zuma that's quite close. When President Zuma was the MEC for economic development in KwaZulu-Natal in the 1990s, Sifiso Buthelezi was an advisor to him. Sifiso Buthelezi went on to go into business. He's done business here and on the continent. He's done a bit of rail, a bit of this and that. I'm not quite clear exactly what his specialty is.
Other than that, he'd be trusted by certain people to do the right thing, in inverted commas.
We don't know Mr. Buthelezi enough, but those who know him say he was in MK and that he was a very good advisor to the president in the 90s. As an MP, he's been very quiet since he came to parliament. And essentially, people are saying he's waiting in the wings to take over. If that happens, he is truly an unknown in the financial markets. Brian Molefe is more of a known quantity. So a lot of people have said actually it's a pairing. It's Brian Molefe to the finance and Sifiso Buthelezi to the deputy ministry. This is all speculation, but it's very strong speculation. I wouldn't dismiss it out of hand.
All right, Justice, I think that's all we got time for this week, but we'll be back next week with more on the Burning Platform with Justice Malala.
But guys, aren't we going to talk about Dilma Rousseff?
Well, I mean, Brazil did what we...
What's happening
what
with
we,
Brazil?
What we can't do. I mean, we can't do it.
Are Brazil showing us the way? What's happening here?
No, I mean, one thing that we don't talk about enough is what happened... Because, you know, the Julius Malemas of this world, other people, you know, go around saying, yeah, look at what Lula achieved, look at what Lula did and so forth. Mm-hmm. And what Lula did, and most other people, you look at Venezuela, they had a lot of money, a lot of oil money, and they spent a lot of it on social grants. They took money out of some other government bank accounts and put it into social spending, which is not a bad thing.
No.
It's when you begin to forget that money doesn't fall from the sky, that you have to save and that you have to educate your people.
Well, I think Margaret Thatcher, who's unpopular for all kinds of good reasons too, once said that the problem with any of these leftist policies in finance is that eventually you run out of other people's money.
Exactly.
And that is what's happened in South America. And haven't the people of South America, whether it's in Venezuela or Brazil, now decided that they're turning their backs on leftist governments?
Enough now, they say.
They want good fiscal controls.
Yeah. So, you know, she was impeached, I think, vote? 61-20? Nice. And that's it. She says she's appealing and so forth and so forth. Anyway, I just wanted to say, isn't it amazing and fantastic all over the world? David Cameron goes and loses the Brexit vote. And 2 days later, in fact, the next day, mm-hmm. he was saying, thank you very much. I lost. I made a play for it, but I didn't get there. Bye-bye.
I'm out.
The Brazilians are saying, Dilma Rousseff, man, it's time to go. Even the Zimbabweans, after 36 years, are beginning to say, Bra Robert, I mean, isn't it time to go? They're rioting in the streets. The man has to retreat from the SADC conference. I saw one of the veterans who supported him for 36 years saying, you know, Robert Mugabe needs to stop thinking about himself and think about his kids, because the minute he kills over and dies, within 10 minutes, his kids will have to get on a plane and get out of Zim because it's going to be crazy for him.
Yeah.
So, on that note, history is a mother.
It's a good time. It's a good time to be watching all of this unfold.
It is, huh? Isn't it?
It's exciting. Thank you, Justice Malala.
Absolute pleasure.
South Africa's foremost political commentator, because we say so.
And if we say so, it must be true.
TouchCentral.fm and this morning, the Burning Platform brought to you by Nando's. Thank you, Justice. We'll see you next week.
Cheers, guys.
Good. And thank you for coming, even though you're feeling sick.
Oh, I'm feeling Justice City. I'm feeling much better just being here.
Justice City woke up this morning with a sore throat or something, right?
Yeah. You're contagious.
All right, get out of here before you make the rest of us sick. Thank you, Justice.
This is CliffCentral.com.